Good afternoon. Today is Tuesday, September the 25th. What is that? What does that say there? Is that Yom Kippur? Yeah, right there.
Yeah.
Yeah, Yom Kippur. All right. Happy Yom Kippur, everybody. The 246th day of the new year. Joining us this afternoon, PIO for the day.
Permanent, actually.
Oh, you
for the Southern Humboldt area.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I cover the Southern Humboldt area. And
still
then,
for another
three, four months. Yeah.
Okay.
So.
And then you're upgrading or getting kicked out? Which way do you prefer to think of it?
I don't know. I guess it depends on who you talk to. But I'll be moving north. I'm going to, first part of February, I'll be moving up to the Arcata CHP office and going back to Real Patrol.
Oh, I thought you were going to say real pleasing.
Okay.
Oh, Matt Harvey's alongside. You got some stuff you want to talk about? We've got some time to talk about it, and we'll do it when we come back.
I got it.
I'm Mark Viette with today's garden tip about not being a prunomaniac. The conscientious gardener needs to know that each kind of plant has its own best time to be pruned. Avoid shearing flowering plants into shapes which really look unnatural. Thin flowering shrubs with a hand pruner. I'm Mark Viette with today's garden tip.
You've got to get up pretty early in the morning to hear Mark Viette and his wealth of gardening knowledge. 5 to 7 a.m. Sundays on KWSW 980.
Good afternoon, KINS News and Information Times 313. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Matt Harvey, Public Information Officer for Southern Humboldt CHP. But before we do, our quote this afternoon comes from Heraclitus, who says, quote, "You can never step into the same river twice, for new waters are always flowing onto you." A little heavy, particularly even considering that there's a current in the river.
Absolutely.
And we talk about the Eel River in Southern Humboldt. There's not a whole lot of current going on there right now.
Not right now, but there will be.
Yeah. Oh, gee, now he's a fortune teller as well. Oh, so what's going on in northern Mendocino, southern Humboldt? Is it the regular summertime, early fall? Here we go again.
Yeah, all kinds of stuff. You know, this summer we've seen a spike in traffic collisions, and so that's been keeping us busy during the summer months. We're starting to see it trickle down now, which is good for us.
Was it a busier than normal summer?
You know, I don't know. I don't know if there was more traffic on the road or what caused the spike in traffic collisions. But for example, in the month of August, we believe last year in 2011, we had 29 crashes for August. This year, we had 61 total crashes. So yeah, we're seeing a spike.
Fog?
it's everything. It's fog, it's speed, it's DUI, it's distracted driving, you know, all of the above. So
I would be not surprised if it was a lot of the texting and stuff, because you guys, in that stretch of the highway, there's the long swoopy. Okay, now if you have service, I got to throw that one in there too.
Right.
There's what appears to be these long areas where no surprises.
Yeah, that's very true. And you know, when we go out and investigate a collision scene, people aren't always honest with us. They're not going to say, "Hey, yeah, I was texting while I was, you know, making a right turn or whatnot." But so we may never know how many people are distracted by cell phones, or I mean, your cell phone can be anything. It's a full on computer. You can check your Facebook accounts. You can search the web. You can, you know, you got your GPS device right there. I mean, it's kind of an all in one device. And I think as technology increases, unfortunately, we are starting to see some of the results of that on the road. So, and I think the laws are yet to keep up with the technology changes. So,
now with the way that the California Vehicle Code is written, though, you still have certain discretion. If you see somebody distracted driving, could be that it could
there,
be
yeah.
the little computer screen or the portable the DVD
the GPS
players
or DVD
up
players.
On the up on the front dashboard. I remember that was kind of the rage about 4 or 5 years ago.
Right.
Watch movies as you're driving down the highway.
Yeah, I think that, you know, the California Vehicle Code, I mean, you can't text while you're driving, can't talk on a handheld cell phone device, you can talk on a Bluetooth type device, but still the issue we're seeing is the distraction with that doesn't come so much from holding your cell phone, but from actually dialing the phone number, which at this point in time is not illegal to do. And so, you know, so like I said, I think the laws have yet to catch up to the upgrades in technology, and they're coming so fast.
With the amount of collisions that did occur during summertime, Matt, were they RVs, Winnebagos, the typical tourist vehicle going too fast through Richardson's Grove and clipping a tree?
A lot of that
kind of stuff.
Yep, a lot of that. I think what we see a lot of in Southern Humboldt is, and I talk about this often when we're talking about crashes. If you're coming south, we get a lot of people coming from the Bay Area. You know, that might be your last big stop. I know we have, you know, Santa Rosa and Ukiah, a few things, but get a lot of people coming from the Bay Area for work, for visiting family, things like that. And once you hit Garberville area, you know, that whole stretch of road right there, it's rural. There's limited streetlights, limited traffic late at night. And I think there's more fatigue than what we're able to see, because oftentimes, you know, for example, if we take a collision and somebody, you know, somebody dies out of the crash, of course, we can't take their statement and find out if they, you know, fell asleep or if they were tired or whatnot. But, you know, when we see those types of crashes, a vehicle goes off the road, there's no skid marks, things like that, you know, that can lead us to believe that, you know, they may have fallen asleep. And I think we see that quite a bit.
Sounds like you've been there.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Everybody has one time or another.
Right, right. So
there's really, and if you're trying to make that last run, hey, it's only half an hour.
Right.
Roll down the window.
Exactly.
Turn up your talk station bit more. Yell at the radio. Do something to keep engaged.
Yeah, and you know, we all got our little tricks to keep us awake. I've taken that route many, many times, and for me, it's the same thing. When I hit that point, I start feeling a little tired, and you know, when I talk to the people who, when we take their statements out of a crash, and they fell asleep or you know, dozed off for a minute. They usually don't say that they were extremely tired. They just say they were feeling slightly tired, you know, rolled their window down. And you know, nobody expects they're going to fall asleep on the roadway, but it does happen. So
I would think that's time to get out and stretch your legs.
Absolutely. Get out and do some exercises, run around the block.
So, yeah, that's a really long block. KINS, News and Information Times, 319.
There's a brand new show on KEKA 101 Thunder Country, Country Gold with Randy Owen, Sunday evenings from 8 till midnight. It's a four-hour intensive music show hosted by the lead vocalist of the group Alabama. Country Gold will feature 13 songs per hour and highlighted music from the 70s to the mid-90s. Be sure to listen to KEKA 101 Thunder Country, Sunday evening from 8 till midnight, Country Gold with Randy Owen.
Good afternoon, KINS. News and Information Time is 3:24. We're back talking shop this afternoon with Matt Harvey. Matt, the collisions that were occurring during summer, certainly that's a majority of you guys' activity. Speeding?
Yeah.
Crashes. Okay.
Yeah, we tend to do different things in Southern Humboldt than probably a lot of the CHP offices out of other areas, because we're so rural. You know, the sheriff department's out there. We work very closely with the sheriff department. We're, you know, sometimes it feels like we're almost one agency, because especially at nighttime, we're backing each other up a lot. And so, yes, the majority of it is crashes, but we do a lot of assisting the sheriff department with whatever they're doing.
And medical aids? Do you guys get involved?
Yeah, we do.
That?
Yeah, we respond to, especially if it's on the side of the freeway, you know, and say somebody's having a heart attack or chest pain or something like that, they will be called, and oftentimes we'll be the first ones there. So,
well, I'm thinking, let's say, for example, the call from Shelter Cove.
Uh-huh.
And you guys almost trip and fall and you're headed that way.
Yeah. It depends. You know, if it's a medical call in a house, we're probably not going to roll out to Shelter Cove. Even if it's in Garberville or Redway, we most likely won't be called out to it. But if we're monitoring radio traffic and we're in the area, we'll stop by and help out if we can. So,
101 had that kind of activity with the increased amount of collisions, a little over double is what you had allowed.
Right.
Was speeding?
Yeah, you know,
at the same percentage. Also, was it just a screwy summer, or did that stay the same?
I don't know that I don't think we saw a spike in you know, speeding violations or anything like that. So, you know, like it's it can't really be pinpointed to any one thing. And, you know, maybe somebody who knows how to study statistics could look at it and say it's this. But, you know, just from our perspective, we're not seeing any one thing. We did see, you know, slightly more DUI collisions, few of those fatalities. But, you know, the roads are so rural, we don't really have a, you know, a problem area. It's just, it's wherever it happens to go off.
It's everywhere, man.
Yeah, and we see a lot of solo vehicle collisions, too. We do get the two vehicle crashes, but a lot of solo vehicles into
car
a tree.
Car on tree?
Car into a tree, yeah. Okay. We get that quite often. We got a few trees out there, so.
the old Avenue of the Giants.
Right.
When I think of that, I think of putt, 25, maybe 30 miles an hour.
Yeah.
Is that how that road is used, or are there people that run through that one a little bit quicker also?
You got the local community, the, you know, Miranda, Phillipsville, Red Crest, places like that that, you know, use that to get to and from home and work and things. Then you got the tourists who want to come in and they've never been on the avenue and they're stopping at every turnout and stopping at every tree and, you know, things that we see every day that, you know, is pretty, but we just don't realize it. Then we get the motorcyclists who are out there. They like that road because there's a lot of turns and it's a little more rural, and it's a beautiful drive, you know, so. All of the above. We see all of those out there, and we do get some collisions out there. But I'd say, you know, the majority of them we're probably seeing on 101. So,
which would make sense.
Yeah, more cars out there. So,
as you have the different types of enforcement that are out there, and you haven't seen a trend other than just overall with the DUI.
Right.
What are some of the statistics that folks would be surprised, either that you track,
mm-hmm.
or that you experience?
Statistics for collision factors?
Just what you guys and gals do during summertime.
What do we see? I mean, I would say, you know, just a lot of what you would expect. We get a lot of increased speed. Seatbelt is always a big thing we're looking for, because we see a direct correlation between increased injury with the lack of wearing seatbelts, you know, and so that's huge for us. We, you know, we try to stay on top of that, make sure everybody's wearing their seatbelts.
Do you have the issues with the kid seats? I know Paul, when he was running out of the swamp, would do all those various clinics and show how. And my sense is has always been when he would talk about that is if you're in the Fort Tooney, Rica, or Cater, more developed area, you're in, you're out, you're using the car seat, you're taking the kid out, it's going in the house, coming back, and a lot of that. Where the impression I have, rightly or wrongly, is that when you're in long drive situations or it's a vacation, the car seat stays in the car and you're taking the bundle of joy or whatever stage of development out. And the car seat stays, and maybe you've got a stroller or you've got some other arrangement set up.
Yeah.
Is that accurate? Do you see a lot of the child seats?
Yeah, we do. We see a lot of child seats. It's a little harder to enforce because when I'm driving along the roadway, it's a little harder to see if the kid's in the right type of seat and oftentimes they're below the window height and things like that. But, no, that's very important for us. It's a high priority. I actually just got certified as a car seat technician about a year ago. And so, you know, since then I've been paying a little closer attention to how car seats are installed, and it's scary. The statistics are scary. Very few car seats are actually installed right. And some of them, I'll grab them and, you know, shake them around, and they can move 6-8 inches back and forth. And
that's enough for damage.
Yeah. I mean, I've seen car seats in cars that are not buckled in at all. You know, the kid will be in the car seat, but the seat itself is not buckled in.
Just sitting
on the seat. You know, some of the things we see out there are scary.
Boy, I can understand somebody getting it messed up. I can't imagine
And
not trying to strap it in.
Right, absolutely. And let me say this, too. You can always come by the CHP office, any CHP office. We'll take a look at your car seat, help you install it right. For people who qualify, we can provide them a free seat as well. So
it's 3:30.
There's never been a clear winner in the so-called battle of the sexes, but in the battle for bacteria-free hands, one half of the population is germier than the other. So whose hands are cleaner, men or women? Hi, I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and here's to your health. The researchers tested 51 college students using a new detailed system for detecting bacterial DNA. But remember, most of the bacteria in our bodies is either harmless or beneficial.
Dr. Hoffman answers some of your health questions on Health Talk, Saturday mornings, 9 to 11 on KWSW 980 AM.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:36. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Matt Harvey, PIO, for the California Highway Patrol out of Southern Humboldt, / and is it on the resume yet, community commenter?
It is now.
Oh,
yes,
okay.
I think it's official.
It is now.
So,
that explains why you have your iPad out and you're writing.
Yeah.
Oh, geez. Matt, one of the things I can recall talking with Adam Yeager, who runs the office, is that for whatever reason, Garberville seems to have, I wouldn't say a high turnover, an extraordinarily high turnover, but a lot of newbies.
Yeah.
On a regular basis, which I think it's cool because it kind of re-energizes everybody who's been there for a while, the remember wins and that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
How often do you get, does that substation or that command get new officers?
We've been seeing it just about every graduating class since I've been there for about 2.5 years now, and just about every class since I've been there, we've seen new officers come in. There's so many factors to it. You know, there was a point in time when there was a lot more senior office. There was more local officers that actually lived in the area. We still have a few, but not as many. Most of those officers have already retired. We have one officer that's still there that lives in the area, but he just moved over to a division job, so he's a commercial officer.
He's the truck driving guy?
Yeah, exactly. That's him. And so what's happened with that is it's opened up more positions that need to be filled. We don't exactly have senior officers beating down the door to come into Garberville.
Really? I would think that would be, as Crescent City and as Arcata, would kind of be seen as a plum assignment. The compensation
is
kind of the same. You don't have the wacko nut jobs that you have in L.A.
Right.
Or some of the metropolitan areas. Or if you do, everybody knows who they are.
Right.
And
you
can kind of follow them in no surprises or less surprises. Is that not accurate?
You know, I think it was at one point in time, but Arcata office tends to be more of an office that people land and stay there. And so because of that, you know, like for in my case, it'll have taken me about 3 years to get up there, as opposed to Garberville, we're taking guys out right out of the academy. And so I think Garberville tends to be somewhat of a stepping stone for officers to a certain degree. But, you know, if you look at it statewide, because I worked in West LA for a year, and
how quick did it take you to put in your change request?
Yeah, it was pretty much immediate. But I did have a good time there. It's actually quite a junior office there too. I mean, if you drew a line, you know, from the officer with 2 years on the job and down, you know, that's probably half or more of the office. So we're seeing. We've been pushing a lot of academy classes over the past several years. We just came out of a 1 year hiring freeze. Transfers were frozen. So of course, when they unfreeze transfers, everybody wants to move. There's a lot of dynamics right now that I think are sort of unique to this time in the Highway Patrol that we haven't seen in the recent past, at least.
So how many do you call them rookies? I know I would call them sir, but do you call them rookies?
We have a few terms for them, but I don't know. We
endearing,
call them new guys.
The endearing term.
Yeah, exactly. We just call them, you know, new guys.
The newbies, yeah.
So,
sure, you know, I'm sure that's what you call them.
Yeah, they're doing a great job. The academy is doing a really good job on pumping out quality officers qualified for the road. And, so I'd say it's a lot of work, but we feel fortunate to be accepting new officers and have an opportunity. I guess we look at it as an opportunity to have an impression on the rest of their career. And so we're taking that opportunity to get them off on the right foot, and they're doing great. So
how many newbies do you I'll use your phrase, your newbies.
Newbies. We got 7 new officers that started about 2 months ago.
Out of
how out of 69 graduated from the academy. So we took 10% of the class.
And how large is the Garberville station?
It's we've got right now we've got 25 officers between the our office and Redway and then the Laytonville Resident Post.
So it's a pretty significant percentage of new folks. When they come out of the academy, do they, obviously they're trained to state of the art.
Yeah, absolutely.
When they come in, do you guys have state of the art? Or do they have to then adjust to what there is in the office?
They have been the Highway Patrol is pretty good about keeping things, you know, if they implement a new, say, patrol car radio system, trying to get it out statewide as quickly as possible. And so the officers are trained up on what's coming out or what has just came out. Oftentimes they're more up to date on certain trainings than those of us who weren't just out of the academy, because they're getting trying to keep them very up to date, you know, so they're ready to go.
That's what I was wondering, if they come in with, in some areas, a better, more developed skill set to be able to use some of this stuff than some of the folks who have been around for a while, and that kind of serves as a balancing.
I think maybe a good way to put it is they're exposed to more updated technology because they're kind of coming out of the hub in Sacramento of, you know, you got CHP headquarters and the academy where, you know, everything is developed there. So they're getting a first look at some of that. But, you know, the patrol is pretty good at keeping us out on, you know, even the rural offices pretty up to date on what's coming out. So
KINS News and Information Times 342. We'll be back with more from Matt Harvey.
Water always wins. That's why there's a Grand Canyon. I'm Glenn Higgy, America's master handyman. Keeping water away from your home's foundation is one of the most important things you can do. If your home is on a crawl space, you need to know what is going on under your feet. Your home's structural integrity and your family's health may depend on it.
Listen to Glenn Higgy Sunday morning, 7 to 8 a.m. on KWSW 980.
Good afternoon, KINS News and Information Times 346. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Matt Harvey. Matt, some of the things that are coming up in the next little bit, we got daylight savings time, we've got weather changing conditions, things of that nature. But the volume on the roads is going to change significantly also. Do you guys staff any differently during the off season, if you will, rather than the on season?
We do in a sense. During the summer months, we have more task forces that we put together for, say, distracted driving, seatbelt enforcement, things like that. So there are DUI is huge. We have there will be times when we'll have like a maximum enforcement period for DUI related activities. Those tend to take place more in the summer months because you got different things that, you know, people are more inclined to, you know, drink and drive on specific days during the summer months. There are those
maybe
holidays.
Weekends.
Yeah, weekends.
You coy guy, you.
I'd say generally we probably, if you looked at the numbers, we probably do keep more guys in on the summer times just because of those maximum enforcement periods and different things.
Do you have the opportunity to do the checkpoint?
I haven't been involved in those yet, me personally. We have officers that are involved.
CHP does do that.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. We just did one in Eureka in the past month, I believe. So
that's right. If it's on 4th and 5th, it's you guys. It's not EPD or Arcato.
Depending on where it's at. I'm not sure how they work their jurisdiction. I'll find
out. But I've never seen it on the highway.
Right. Yeah, because there'd be too many issues with traffic congestion and things like that. So we're going to find a road where we can actually slow the vehicles down and, you know, make sure nobody's getting rear-ended. So
yeah, that would be embarrassing, wouldn't it?
That would be a little embarrassing. But we do. We are very involved in the DUI enforcement activities any way we can, because we see firsthand. It's just, you know, it's never fun to go to crashes where you see, you know, somebody who gets killed or majorly injured, and it could have been easily avoided by, you know, designating a driver, you know, something like that. So
yeah, I wouldn't think pain would be something that would be fun to deal with.
No,
folks. Obviously, we got the harvest season coming up, or the traditional harvest season, I guess, might be the better way to say it. Does that change your guys' day to day at all for the next 6 weeks or so?
You know, we, our primary concern as our office, we're primarily concerned with traffic safety and keeping people safe on the roadways. And so when people are transporting marijuana and different things, we will find it from time to time, and we're going to deal with it. And but we're not mainly out there looking for that. We have a drug task force that deals with that, and they will help them out. We have the sheriff department. They have special, officers and deputies that seek more of those types of things. And, if we find it, we're going to deal with it. We're going to handle it.
You like the plants in the back of the pickup truck yesterday?
I didn't see that one. But,
I think it was odd. Was it Hoopa? I think it was Hoopa is what the news guys were saying.
Yeah.
They got 18 plants, and they were going to destroy them today. Somebody broke in, threw them in the back of the pickup truck, was driving. Obvious like that you guys would
Oh, absolutely. Would get involved with. And the way we look at that, too, is it's, we can't not deal with it, of course. But, that relates back to traffic safety, because we see quite a few DUI as a result of marijuana impairment. So the more large amounts of marijuana that we can get off the roadways is going to directly relate to, drug related DUIs on the road.
Keeps it interesting.
It does. Absolutely.
Well, and I guess we'll hear from you a couple more times, and then we'll see you more often coming out of Arcata.
That's right. I think I'll be here through the end of the year. So
thanks for coming by, Matt.
You're welcome.
We've been talking shop this afternoon with Matt Harvey. Join us tomorrow afternoon for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out and make it a good day. Hug someone you love. See you tomorrow.